Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and reading at verse 10. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I should like to close this session with a devotional word on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, thinking from Luke chapter 2 of the sign of the Saviour born. Between the book of Malachi and Matthew of the New Testament, there was a period of about 400 years. Zechariah, speaking of those years, says in Luke chapter 1, the people sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. During those 400 years, the heavens were dark. There was no light to guide. But the New Testament commences with a light up there in the heavens, first seen by the wise men. It was the light of a star, and they knew that this light was the sign of a king born. In Matthew chapter 2, coming to Jerusalem, they're heard to say, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. During those 400 years, not only were the heavens dark, but for 400 years, God had been silent. For 400 years, God had ceased to speak. But when we come to Luke's Gospel, we discover that Luke tells us how that heaven's silence was broken in a remarkable fashion. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, we learn how that the angel Gabriel came from the presence of God down to Jerusalem, and tells Zacharias there that his wife Elizabeth would have a son, despite the fact that she was now too old for this, and that son would be called John. Then that same angel from the presence of God in heaven makes another visit in Luke chapter 1. We learn from verse 26 that this time he visits despised Nazareth. And on this occasion speaks to a girl, a virgin, and tells her, Thou shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Then in chapter 2 from verses 9 to 14, when Jesus was born, we were told how that the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, and so on. And we're told that suddenly the heaven's silence was broken in a most unmistakable fashion. A multitude of the heavenly hosts, they're heard praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And thus the heavens are filled with the praise of angelic voices. And I ask you, my dear brethren, don't make too much of what is being said today that angels never sing. Angels do sing, you know. Job chapter 38 says, The sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars they sang together. Who were these morning stars? These were angels. In fact, the name Lucifer means the morning star, and he was the leader of the choir. Angels sing, and at the birth of my Saviour, the sigh, and has refilled the praising voices of a multitude of angelic beings. What is the difference between Matthew and Luke? Matthew, we have the sign of a king born. In Luke's gospel, we have the sign of a savior born. What was the sign of the king born? It was a star up there in the heavens. What was the sign of a savior born? It was a babe lying in a manger. And this shall be the sign. Ye shall find a babe swaddled and lying in a manger. What I want to speak on for a few moments is just this. In Luke chapter 2, as we think of the sign of the Savior born, our attention is directed first of all to his person. Secondly, to his purity. And thirdly, to his poverty. And what a note upon which to finish these conference meetings, to think of our Savior. His person, his purity, and his poverty. Where do we find this? As to his person, verse 11 of chapter 2 says, "For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." As to his person, he is Christ the Lord. As to his purity, verse 12 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." And we shall learn in a few moments that how he was wrapped in swaddling clothes speaks of his purity. But that in a moment or two. Then we shall think of his poverty. Verse 12, lying in a manger. His person, Christ the Lord. His purity, forthwith swaddled, and his poverty, lying in a manger. Let us think first of all of his person. Says verse 11, he is Christ the Lord. And what is the significance of this Christ the Lord? When you come down to verse 26, you'll discover that it was revealed unto old Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he shouldn't see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon, you'll not die until you've seen the Lord's Christ. And you see what is meant by this expression, the Lord's Christ. Well, that simply means the Christ whom the Lord has promised. The anointed one whom the Lord had sent. And Simeon, you'll not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. The Christ whom the Lord has promised. But when in fact he did come, the angel said to the shepherd, "And he was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Verse 11. Notice the change. When he did come, he's not announced as the Lord's Christ. He's spoken of as Christ the Lord. Thus the Lord's Christ promised is in fact Christ the Lord himself. My dear friend, here we have established his deity. And let us remember that the babe was Christ, the Lord himself. The Lord who keepeth Israel, who slumbers not nor sleeps. The everlasting God who fainteth not, neither is weary. That was the babe lying in the manger. Here is the great mystery. A babe who was Christ, the Lord himself. Matthew chapter 1, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 21. Verse 23, "They shall call his name Emmanuel." Jesus, Emmanuel. Romans chapter 1, "He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God." Romans chapter 9, "From whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, he was born a Jew but over all, God bless it forever. My dear friend, never let us forget that the babe that lay in the manger, he wasn't simply the Lord's Christ. He was Christ, the Lord himself, one of the Godhead three. Does that not remind us of Genesis chapter 22? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And the babe in the manger is Christ the Lord, is God providing himself. So much then for his person. Let us think of his purity. Verse 12, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Let me direct your attention to this, that in the Old and New Testament scriptures, there are in fact three references to swaddling. Job chapter 38 and verse 9, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 4, and here in Luke chapter 2. And let us think briefly of these three references to swaddling in the Bible. Job chapter 38, our attention is directed to the earth. Before it was formed for man to live in, when in fact darkness covered the deep. And we hear our Lord say, I was he who swaddled the deep in swaddling bands of thick darkness. I was he who made the cloud, the sea's garment. My dear friend, think of him in all the greatness and majesty of his person, swaddling that vast watery waste himself in clouds of thick darkness. But coming into this world, he himself is swaddled by a lowly handmaid of God in Israel, and laid in a manger. Well, might we say, sometimes we do, oh come, let's adore him. Let me repeat, the one who swaddled the vast watery waste in clouds of thick darkness, coming to this world, is himself swaddled by a lowly handmaid of God in Israel, and laid in a manger. The next reference to swaddling is Ezekiel chapter 16, where attention is directed to the reason for Jerusalem's abomination and desolation. The reason for abomination was failure in her nativity. And the language of Ezekiel chapter 16 is this, in the day that thou wast born, thou wast neither washed in water, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. No, I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee. Thou wast cast into the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Thus the reason for Jerusalem's abomination was this. There were three various, very serious omissions in her nativity. And what were the omissions? When she was born, she wasn't washed. When she was born, she wasn't salted. When she was born, she wasn't swaddled at all, but simply cast out of the field to the loathing of her person. Now the third reference to swaddling, we have it in Luke chapter 2, and now its connection with our Savior. And will you notice, in this next mention of swaddling, there are certain omissions as well. And these omissions are very important. What we read is just this. Luke chapter 2 verse 7. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And the thought is this. Then Mary brought forth her firstborn son and forthwith she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Will you notice, my dear brethren, there's no mention of washing. No mention of cleansing. No mention of salting. This babe is brought forth and forthwith swaddled. We would ask the question, can it be that here was failure on Mary's part? Can it be that here was something that Mary had forgotten to do? After all, Mary was little more than a girl. Had she forgotten to wash this child? Had she forgotten to salt this child? Did she swaddle this child and forget to do these things? Or can it be that Luke, who wrote the gospel, he fails to mention it? He forgets to mention it. Let us remember, the Luke who wrote this gospel was a physician. And further down the chapter, he mentions how that Mary offered the two doves or pigeons for her purification, for her cleansing, in verse 22. But he makes no mention of this babe being cleansed or salted, only the fact that he was swaddled. My dear brethren, what's the answer to it all? Just this. Here was a babe that was different to all other babes. Let us remember that. A babe. Different to all other babes. What was the difference? Number one, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Number two, he was virgin born. Number three, he was born holy. Luke chapter 1, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Ah, let us think with adoring hearts very briefly of this scene in Luke chapter 2. Here is Mary. And let's remember, she's not much more than a girl. She finds herself in a strange city. She's away from home. She's in a stable. And she's bringing forth her firstborn child. Brethren, she brought him forth without any human aid. Because of his divine conception and his unique birth, he wasn't brought forth without divine aid. Sometimes we forget that. Psalm 22, thou art he that took me out of the womb. Brethren, this is all wrapped up in his divine conception and his unique birth. There's Mary alone, without human aid, but experiencing divine aid. Thou art he that took me from the womb. And having brought forth a firstborn, straightway, Mary swaddled his babe. Brethren, no need to cleanse. Brought forth, forthwith swaddled. He was a babe. Lovely. Holy. Pure. Praise God for the purity of this babe. He was a babe born with a body that was impervious to disease. And a nature that was impervious to sin. That holy thing. Praise God for his purity. Brought forth. Forthwith swaddled. No need of cleansing. Let us think very briefly of his poverty. Verse 12 says, lying in a manger. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, coming for me, for me. My Savior was poorer than me. My Savior was poorer than anyone in this room. Brought forth, and laid in a manger. Luke's gospel is the gospel of the poor. Remember, Luke's gospel is the only gospel that was written to a man. It was written to Theophilus, the most excellent Theophilus. And by reason of his being called the most excellent Theophilus, the same title as Felix and Festus, it has been thought that he might well have been a Roman governor, and I've no doubt that was true. And here's a gospel that's written to a rich man, but it's the gospel of the poor. Let me remind you of how it is the gospel of the poor. Luke chapter 4. My Savior stands up in the synagogue at Nazareth where he was brought up and reads the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the headless. Luke chapter 14, he tells a parable of that certain man who made a great supper. And he sent his servant out saying, bring in hither the poor. Again the headless. Luke chapter 6, he tells of the rich man who died and Lazarus who died. The rich man went down into hell and the poor beggar went into Abraham's bosom. Luke chapter 21, our Lord commends the great faith of that poor widow who cast into the treasury all her living that amounted to two mites. It's the gospel of the poor. My dear brethren, in harmony with that, let me remind you, Luke doesn't speak of the child in the house as in Matthew 2. He speaks of the babe in the manger. Luke makes no reference to the wise men with their costly gifts. He just speaks of the visit of those hard-working shepherds. Luke makes it very clear that the chosen virgin was not the high priest's wife. It was but poor Mary, who could only offer the poor man's offering for her cleansing, those two verbs. Luke makes it very clear that it wasn't given to Ananias, nor to Caiaphas, to receive the child in the temple. It was given to old Simeon and Anna. It's the gospel of the poor. Let me remind you that coming into this world, it was a poor woman called Mary. The wrap the body of that babe Jesus in swaddling bands and laid it in a manger. But having finished the work that God gave him to do, it was a rich man. He took that body down from that shameful tree, wrapped it in linen clothes, and laid it in a new sepulchre. But I want to finish, my dear brethren, by speaking of our Savior's poverty. In these days of affluence and a tremendous ambition to be rich, we do well to remember our Savior's poverty. Let's think of it. His cradle was a manger. His resting place, when we read, it was a well. His bed, when he was tired and wanted to sleep, was a fisherman's boat. His pulpit, when he wanted to preach, was a borrowed boat. His closet, his sanctuary, when he wanted to pray, was the mountainside during the night watches. His deathbed was a shameful tree to which he had been spiked. His grave was the gift of a rich man. Let me remind you of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through
his father's death. Might be midwitch. Hear these words. His poverty. My brother, my sister, his poverty. Let me tell you once again, my Savior was poorer than me, and my Savior was poorer than you. See him on that cross. In the language of the parable, he sold all that he had. We've been reminded of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. He was cut off and had nothing, that ye by his poverty might be made rich. No beautiful chamber, no soft cradle bed, no place but a manger, nowhere for his head, no traces of gladness, no thought of their sin, no glory but sadness, no room in the inn. Is there an unsaved soul here today? Let me continue. No room, no room for Jesus. Oh, bid him welcome now, lest you should hear at heaven's gate, there is no room for you.